Take your Bibles to turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to continue in our passage of Scripture that we kind of left off last Sunday. Colossians chapter 3, a great book of the Bible that we've been in for quite some time now. And I'm not sure how many messages that's been preached out of this book of the Bible we've been looking at since first of the year. But we've been in it now for quite some time. I believe I've told you this many times in prefacing the message that this book was written from prison. It's one of the Pauline prison epistles. And he was writing this. I have never seen this church at Colossae. And but he had dealt with some problems in the first two chapters that with apostates and with false teachers that had crept in. And then we get to chapter 3, tells the church to keep their eyes above the clouds, to focus on their affections on things that are above and not things on the earth. He then in verse 2 or verse 3 says, you're dead in Christ, you're hid in Christ. So at the resurrection, we were raised with Christ. And then at the death, we died with Christ. And he says, though, in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's where we left off last week. We know that he's coming back. Titus even says that he is our blessed hope. One day, church, we don't know when that day, no one knows but the Father, that Jesus Christ will come. And when he does, we want to be found faithful and we want to be found true. We get down to verse number 5. The Bible says this, the first word in verse 5 is mortify. Mortify means put to death. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, regardless, listen, church, regardless of our sin nature, believers can have victory in this life. We do have a sin nature. In the beginning of this section, Paul, he lists actually in this verse 5 sins of the flesh, all having to do with sexual impurity. He's dealing with this because the church had dealt with this. He further then instructs in verse 5 how we can deal with these things and have victory. Now we have two choices. Either we can walk in the flesh and we can sin and we can fall and not have victory, or we can walk in the Spirit and have that victorious Christian life. Paul gives us this options here in verse number 5 or in Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at that again in verse 5. The Bible says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. The first thing that I come to this morning is there's the death to be performed. A death that needs to be performed. The word mortify, as I said earlier, it means to kill or to put to death. And that phrase is which upon the earth. If you see that in verse 5, he says, therefore your members, your body, which are upon the earth. It's speaking about our body, which is upon the earth. We are to mortify. I've heard some people say that that means we are to control. That's not what it means. There's no way to control our members. There's either, as Paul puts it, there needs to be a death. There needs to be a death that takes place. Something that takes place where we die to these fleshly desires. The believer has two natures, as I just said. Before salvation, we only had one nature. But now that we're saved, we have a new nature. The old nature versus the new birth. We have that new nature. And these two natures, according to Paul, are at constant war with one another. Matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, that they cannot do the things that they would. Paul said there is a constant war going on between the flesh and the Spirit. They're constantly at odds one with another. Matter of fact, that's the reason why we have a hard time reading our Bible consistently and praying consistently and just being a good Christian consistently is because the flesh does not want that. It does not cater to the flesh. The flesh in itself is wicked. The flesh in itself is dirty. The flesh in itself is filthy. And it doesn't want that. It has lazy desires. It has carnal desires. But the Spirit of God, it's saying, feed me, feed me. I want to talk to my Savior. Feed me. I want to read the Word. And what do? We often give in to the fleshly desires. That's why we find ourselves at a constant war. The new nature, it wants to do that which pleases God. The new nature's looking to please God. The old nature, it resists a submitting to the Spirit and doing those things which pleases God. That old nature, it resists. It's at odds. It doesn't want anything to do with anything that would please the Lord. The old depraved nature, that old divine power of God, they're constantly at war in the believer's will. We must put the flesh to death by depraving it of its power and of its influence. The Bible says in Romans 8:13, "For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." There it is. There's that word mortify again, meaning that we are to kill or to put to death the deeds of the body, the flesh, in order to live in the Spirit. There is compromise with the flesh, but there can be no reforming of the flesh. You cannot reform the flesh. Remember that. You can dress it up. You can comb the hair. You can put on a deodorant. You can take a shower. You can take a bath. You can do all these things, which I hope you do on a consistent basis. Let me just say this. You can't reform it. You can dress it up. You can make it smell nice for a little while. But it's going to go back to stinking. Why? It's corrupt. You cannot reform it. You can say, well, I'm going to train in school and I'm going to train this flesh to behave. Good luck. It ain't happening. It's flesh. Jesus said this in John 6:63. He said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." Listen to this. The flesh profiteth nothing. Your flesh profits nothing. Now that to me as a pastor, even as a Christian, there's a danger there when we operate in the flesh. Preachers will preach in the flesh. They'll preach behind a podium or a pulpit of wood, and they'll preach behind it, and they'll preach without one prayer being offered for the message. They'll preach in the flesh. And listen, Jesus said it profiteth nothing. You sing in the Spirit of God. You teach in the Spirit of God. We are so used to operating in the power of the flesh. And Jesus said it profits nothing. There is literally nothing that can good come from the flesh. Not at all. But He said this, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life." You know why people get help on Sundays? It's because the words are... I'm not preaching to you from the Sears Roebuck catalog. I'm not preaching to you from the newest self-help book. I'm not preaching to you from some opinionated or preferential thing that I put together. I'm preaching to you from the Word of God. And they are life. People leave not empty. People leave full. Now, you ain't going to like what I say today. Forewarning. Difficult verses. Not my favorite thing when I woke up this morning and say, "Ooh, I get to preach on these subjects. Wow, thank you, Lord." No, I wasn't looking forward to these, because any preacher that looks forward to preaching on sin, something's wrong, because we're all sinners. It's not my natural thing to just preach on things, because I left this morning at 8:30. I left a little like, whoa. Now, the first few things I mentioned, some of you will say, "Yeah, boy, that's good preaching, yeah, man." But by the end of this thing, you ain't going to like it. Even Jacob, I got up here and said, "Boy, it's a tough crowd, 8:30. He said, "Tell me about it. I was trying to pick an invitation song." There's no invitation song on this. Get up there and just look at them, right? We're to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, "Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust thereof." Very simple. Listen, very truth. There's no way to beat around that truth. It's reality. It's not a suggestion. Paul didn't say, I highly suggest you walk in the Spirit. It would give room for someone to say, yeah, he suggested it, but I'm going to kind of skirt around walking in the Spirit. No, Paul says walk in the Spirit. It is a command. And when we choose to obey that command, we walk in the Spirit. We're not catering to the flesh. If we do walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We, by our will and our choice, decide the course of conduct we take. You'll leave here today and you'll do one of two things. Either you live here today and leave here today in the flesh and saying, you know what, that preacher said some things, but I'm going to do it my way. Or you're going to leave and say, I'm going to do it God's way. You're going to do it God's way. Let's look at these sins of the flesh is what Paul talks about them right here in verse 5. He says this, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. He lists them, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. First thing we come to is fornication. Fornication includes all forms of immorality and sexual activity. It can include adultery, sodomy, any type of homosexuality. Fornication comes from the word porneia, which speaks of moral perversity. Our nation today is on decline because of this very thing. You cannot buy a sack of hog feed without seeing a naked woman on it. Dog food, half-dressed woman there. Why? Because sex sells. Y'all know I'm telling it right. Y'all clammed up already. Folks, it's only going to get worse. At least give me a smile. I'm telling you right now, we are living in an adulterous generation. We listen, the TV commercials, mom and dad, listen. Guard your eyes, guard your heart, but can I say, guard your children. They're seeing things today just in commercials that you never would have thought 10 years ago you would have seen. Folks, we are living in very sexual immorality, terrible, perverse days today. It's worse than it's ever been, all because of fornication. That word porneia, it speaks of moral perversity. It is the word that we get our English word from, pornography. Pornography is running rampant through. There's men today that I'm preaching to in the early service and in our service today. I'm preaching to them and they're addicted to pornography. And you can hide it. See, I can't look inside your mind and see or in your heart. I can't see it, thank God. But you understand that some of you are struggling in the area of pornography and it leads to some other things that I'm going to mention. Paul here. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at Paul. He's saying to this church, and by the way, there's some encouragement in here, and we'll get to that in just a moment, but fornication, that's something that people struggle with every day. It's in front of us everywhere we turn. Men, be faithful to your wife. And I'm talking about not just faithful in the outward show. I'm talking about faithful in the inward heart. You think about something long enough, you'll do it. Jesus talked about the eye gates in the New Testament. He said in the Old Testament, adultery, a man would take him out, and I'm just paraphrasing, a man would get stoned for adultery. He said in the New Testament, under grace, he said, if you look upon a woman to lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Oh, I love the new grace. Boy, I love grace. Thank God for grace. Yeah, thank God for grace. Puts it on another level, doesn't it? There's the act. And then there's that lust, fornication. How about the second thing, uncleanness? Verse 5, uncleanness is the opposite of clean and pure. Originally, it was a medical term talking about an infection, oozing. If you think about maybe leprosy in the Bible, you've seen an infected sore. But it also speaks of the filthiness of the heart that defiles a person. He was talking about uncleanness in approaching God. God is holy. God is clean. And uncleanness describes not only an outward act of immorality, but it's also referring to the thoughts of the heart, as I just said. Are you clean this morning? The only way a man can be clean is what the Bible says. You're clean through the Word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. People come and say, Pastor, how do I keep a clean mind? How do I keep a clean heart? You clean it through the word of God. Paul lists fornication, uncleanness. How about this? Inordinate affections. Inordinate affection. The word inordinate carries the idea of unusual or irregular. The word affection comes from the word pathos, which basically means passion. What Paul here is saying is it's an unusual, depraved passion. It refers to homosexuality. And I feel like behind this is considered hate speech, what I'm doing right now. If you even refer to it, if you even preach that it is sinful nature, that folks will look at you and say, how mean, how dare you, you're a bigot, you're one that doesn't love people, it's all about love. But folks, let me tell you something. The healthiest thing you could do right now is listen. And teach your children that God is love and that He made it that a male love a female and a female love a male. I mean, folks, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. They're attacking Mr. Potato Head today. Mr. Potato Head is being canceled, or they thought about it. They don't like what else anybody, if you say or speak up about anything. Frank, can I tell you today, we need to stand for the sanctity of marriage between man and woman. And I say this in love. I am not for a man getting up here or anybody getting up here and calling those people names. That is wicked and it's just as wrong. For you to take a name and call them a name that's not in the Bible. I'm not calling anybody names. Matter of fact, I love those folks. I'll preach the gospel to them. I love them. I want to see them rescued and brought out of that and brought into a life of purity and clean. And by the way, it can happen, but it happens through the power of God. Those folks are trapped into an ideology that this is normal, that this is accepted. And if you don't accept it, you're the one that's wrong. Friend, I'm telling you, you can love them and not accept it. I don't accept it. I refuse to accept that. If you have a problem with that, then fine. But I'm telling you, you have to take that up with God. It's inordinate affection. It's unusual. It's strange. It's not right. And what's not right is wrong. Last time I checked, there is no gray area right here. Nobody's born that way. You can say whatever you want to say, and I'm going to kindly disagree. I believe this comes from sinful walking in the flesh. It's wrong. I stand against it. I will not for one minute allow anyone to call people derogatory names or say, hey, I've heard preachers make jokes and say names and call them names, and that's not right. Only thing that does is push them further away. I want to see them come to Christ. My wife was in Greenville this week talking to another agent in the parking lot of a business. And she was seeing a lady go by. And a lady looked like she needed something. So she circled the vehicles. And she, you know, Rebecca's kind of aware of what was going on. Had like a blanket and some things in her hands. This lady approached my wife and this other lady in this parking lot said, I need some help. I hate to do this, but I need some help. And she then pulled her mask down. She had a mask. She was wearing a mask. She pulled her mask down, and my wife said it was a man. Dressed like a woman. High heels, painted up fingernails, and real tall. And she said what was very sad about this was this man would have been a very attractive man. But he was so messed up in his sin. He was looking for an old hotel. He's asking directions to a hotel, and she said you could just see the sinful behavior on this man, that not even judging, not even looking at this man in judgmental, but looking at him through the eyes of the Savior, brokenhearted for this man who was engulfed in this nature that is strange. Strange. Folks, you can think whatever you want to think, but I'm just going to go with what I believe the Bible says. Inordinate affection. It's not of God. Oh, I'd never do that. Don't walk in the flesh. Evil concupiscence. Concupiscence is a lust for that which is carnal and unlawful. I believe this is also speaking about a sexual perversion, but it's dealing with lust. Men, you shouldn't be going on websites. And women. We've got a thing here on Wednesday nights called the Conquer Series for men in battle impurity. We've been having that now for... I'm concerned about it. I want to have help here at the church. And you, some of you men started it and you quit it because you don't need it. It's what you think. We all need it. We need it. Don't start something and say, yeah, I'm not really battling that. You're battling that if you're 100% male, you are. Yeah, you are. That's normal. I don't know if I can make it there on Saturday. Tell you what, preventive maintenance will help you. You need some safeguards in your life to show you that you have some moral decay. We have, our family's got what we call covenant eyes on our devices. We get notifications daily on what we've looked at. You say, well, Pastor, I think that's a little extreme. No. If you knew the rate of pastors falling out of the ministry because of pornography, you'd be thanking God that there's one at least wanting to let people know what I'm looking at. I don't want to be engulfed in something that controls my mind. And listen, I'm happily married, but I owe that to my wife. I owe that to my children. And I owe that to my Savior to live a life of purity. If you're battling with addiction today to pornography, I would love the opportunity to help you. Everything's confidential, but can I tell you, if you keep going further in this thing, you will get into a place where you almost cannot get out. There's help for you, but you got to realize it. How about covetousness? Verse 5. Covetousness is inordinately desirous, greedy. It says this, Webster defines it as directed to money or goods, wanting to, eager to obtain and possess excessively. Covetousness. Thayer's dictionary said, one eager to have more, especially what belongs to others. Greedy. Why do you think America's in the shape it's in today? Greed. I want that. I want that. I want that. Oh, did you see that? Man, I want that. I want that. You're not satisfied with what God's given you, so you go to the covetousness. How about this? Idolatry. Look at it. Which is idolatry? Idolatry is usually seen as the use of idols and images and other substitutes of God. But God's people are forbidden to worship idols. We know that. You shouldn't be having statues in your house where you're bowing down to them and praying to them and trying to worship them. But idolater is someone who does not give the Almighty God first place in their life. So anything that comes above God can become an idol. That is a thought that sometimes does not cross our mind. That means a career. That means an automobile. Kids' sports. Hobbies. Fashion. Anything that comes above God can become an idol. What did Jesus say? Matthew 22, 37, 38. He said this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So, Pastor, I've heard what you've said. You've given about six things out of this verse. Verse 5, sins of the flesh, sins that are wicked. Yes, we would all agree that most of these things, though we've heard them, many of us don't really battle them, maybe some. But notice verse number 6. Some of you's glad I moved out of 5, right? For which the things sake the wrath of God. For which things sake. What's he talking about? These things. The things that I just listed. Paul's saying those things, they bring on the wrath of God. The second thing I see is there's a disobedience that is punished. There's a disobedience that is punished. There's a death to be performed that we're told to mortify. But number two, there is a disobedience that is punished. For which things sake the wrath of God? These things, that's the sins of verse number 5. They bring on the wrath of God. Now listen, folks today don't want to hear much about the wrath of God. They're envisioning God as a good old boy or one of the boys. And the problem is that God is not one of the boys. God is holy. God is just. God is almighty. He's righteous. And He has to judge sin. And God's wrath is real. He actually says, look at verse 7. Colossians 3:7, he says this, "In which is encouraging, ye also walked sometime." So here's what Paul's saying in that letter. He's saying, those things that I mentioned, some of you walked in those things a while back. That's encouraging. Some of you were fornicators. Some of you had inordinate affection. Some of you were covetous and you were full of concupiscence and you were idolaters and you had problems. And Paul said, you walked in them when you were an old man. You walked in them before conversion. But notice what he says now. Verse 8. But now. Notice that. But now ye also put off all these. Church, don't miss this. Here's what he says. But now. Hey, now that you are saved, here's what you need to put. You need to put them off. Put these things off. Number one, what is it that he wants us to put off? Anger. That word put off means to cast off or put away or lay apart. It's a kind of the picture of someone taking off the old coat and putting on a new coat. We're first to put away anger. Anger, let me say this, church. Anger is one of the most destructive forces that can come to a Christian. People that are angry. Now, I'm preaching to some that struggle in the anger department. You can hide it at church. It's amazing. When you get out of your car and step your foot on the parking lot, good morning, brother. It's good to see you. Y'all been fighting like cats and dogs all the way up. Just fighting. Screaming at each other, and pastor calls, "Hey, pastor, boy, I hope you've been having a good day." I remember I was counseling a man years ago that him and his wife were having some issues. And let me say, in a lot of marriages, one of the number one things, if not the number one things, that comes between a man and a wife is anger. Anger, angry, just mad, hollering. I'm just hot-headed. You may think that's cute, but that's sinful. Right. Being hot-headed is not cute. Oh, I've just got a hot temper, man. I just fly off the handle. And just expect your children to be that way. Yeah. Go ahead. The reason your kids are like twice the child of Satan is because you've been angry. Right. And they hear all that junk at the house, cussing and fighting, and then you'll come to church and say, "Oh, I just love Jesus." We'll act like it tomorrow. Angry. I was sitting across this man, and him and his wife, she was over there, and she was crying, looked like her eyes all swollen up. He's over here smiling. I said, "What's the problem?" "Well, she started in, you could just tell, had been just through it. Head down." And he said, "Well, I can't get her to do nothing." I just started griping. And I listened. There's two sides to every story. There's actually three, and then there's truth, you know. But I heard the two sides, and I'd come to the conclusion that this man, in just my thoughts, some of the things that she had said was just screaming. This man had an anger problem. He'd lose it. And here's what I said. And I looked at him. I said, "Sir, do you have an anger problem?" "I don't have an anger problem." I mean, eyes bug-eyed, veins popping out his neck, red face. I don't have an anger problem. And I said, well, if you're not angry, I'd like to see it when you are angry. Because that right there, my friend, scares me. Anger. Anger, as the Encyclopedia of Psychology says this, defines anger as the emotional readiness to aggress. Aggressive. Here's what the Bible says about anger. A fool's wrath is presently known. You can see it. James 1:20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Anger has no business in God's work. Anger has no business in God's family. Such people are called hotheads. Anger drives individuals to do things they tend to hurt and destroy. The bottom line is this, that the world today is infested with angry and bitter people. They are slaves to this awful sin, and the whole life is discolored and defeated because they see everything through the lens of anger. Everything. They're angry about everything. Let's just move on. Anger, what's the next one? Wrath. Some of you're already mad at me. You ain't supposed to be that way, though. Second, we must put away wrath. What is wrath? Violent anger. Wrath is anger on steroids. That's exactly what it is. Wrath is anger that desires or it wants revenge. Wrath, it carries the idea of swelling with anger or a boiling resentment. Wrath is an anger that holds grudges. I've heard people say before, well, Pastor, I may forgive, but I sure ain't forgetting. And I'm like, well, that ain't much of forgiveness, is it? When Christ forgave us our sins, they're buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Far as east is from west, buried to never be brought up again. Aren't you thankful for that? But hey, here we are. I ain't forgetting that. That double crossed me, boy. I'm telling right now, I ain't forgetting that. I'll forgive you, all right. Yeah, you ain't forgiving nobody. Holding a grudge. You're mad and wrath. How about the next one? We are to put away malice. Anger, wrath, malice. Malice is a desire to harm or hurt others. Webster's Dictionary actually says it's extreme enmity of the heart. Disposition to injure others without cause, a personal gratification or of a spirit of revenge. Malice people are vengeful. Do you enjoy it when you see someone that you know good and well doesn't like you? Do you enjoy it when you see them hurt? You see bad things happen to them? See, vengeance belongs to the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. See, when our enemies do things to us, guess who we should be giving those things to? God. And God will take care of our enemies. God will take care of those that try to hurt us and abuse us and do things to us. But hear what we do this all the time. We either go after those people or we love it to see hurt come to them. Oh my goodness. Malice. We shouldn't be wanting malice. How about the next one? Look at it. Blasphemy. Oh, people would say, Pastor, I surely don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I don't blaspheme God. That ain't what Paul's talking about. In the context, Paul's talking about blaspheming someone else. Slander. Surely no one in here's blaspheming their neighbor. Slandering their neighbor. Talking and speaking ill of their neighbor. We know not to take the Lord's name in vain, but Paul wasn't speaking of that. He was talking about a Christian speaking evil of another Christian. My goodness, we shouldn't be doing that. Church, listen, if you have nothing good to say about someone else, just keep your mouth shut. Psst. Yeah, I just don't know about. Hey, come on. I just gonna go over here and talk. I tell you, here's a prayer request. Now, here's how we need to pray. Prayer requests often turn into slander, doesn't it? How about filthy communication? He says, filthy communication out of your mouth. Hey, some of us need to clean our mouths up. Filthy communication. What's filthy is not clean. Oh, preacher, I've got a bad habit of saying filthy things. Clean it up. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Means you got a heart problem. Watch your mouth. Watch your jokes. Watch. And let me just say this. If you're watching filth on television, it's going to go in the heart. You know, just watching it, the language and the stuff, it's going to come out. Folks, can I tell you, we need to be careful what we watch, and we need to be careful what we say. I'm almost done. Look at this last one. Verse 9. Lie not one to another. You'd think it's getting better. Turn the TV on. Nothing but liars. Media won't tell you the truth. Won't even report the weather right. Unbelievable. They tell you it's going to be sun shining and be a storm outside. Who knows? They're just lying everywhere. I don't trust them. Turn on something else, it's a lie. You go to work. I asked in the earlier service, I don't know why I did this. How many of you is working with a liar? And all of them raised. I said, no, don't do that. I didn't mean, I don't know why I said that. I'm like, man, they might be in here. Lies. Some of you husband and wives, you're not truthful with one another. Rebecca, I'll get on Amazon and I'll order something. It'll come to the front porch. It's almost been a daily occurrence. Little box right there, and she'll say, "What's that?" I'll say, "I don't know." And that's the truth. I don't. Where's she at? I don't even know where she's at. Is she in here? She ain't in here. Oh, she's in the back. Yeah, I was making sure if she wasn't in here, I was going to tell y'all. Told her everything. But the truth is, I know what's in that box. I want to say, well, Jeep parts. Something broke. It didn't. I want to say whatever, hunting something or something we needed at the house. Now, if it's something we needed at the house, I'll say, honey, we needed this. But if it's something I wanted. Whew. Hey, but truth. Listen, truthful things. Telling each other, having some honesty about and integrity. You know what, though? We'll find liars at work. We'll find liars at school. We'll find liars on the media. What's sad is we find liars in the church. Oh, I think about Ananias and Sapphira. It was Acts chapter 5. They'd come into church all wanting to please men, strutting in there. I'd given, I sold all this to give, and God struck them dead. That thing's always... Oh, I don't even like preaching on that because it scares the fire out of me. But it ought to. We ought to just be truthful. I mean, sometimes the truth hurts. I've got a friend in the ministry, and we've made this pact many times together. He said, Steve, if you ever see anything in me that you see that's fearful or something that would be dangerous or hurtful, tell me. We've made that with one another. How would you like to go to the doctor and you ladies walk in there and say, I have a little lump right here under my arm. I'm feeling, and the doctor look at you and say, oh, honey, don't worry about that. Oh, it's going to be okay. Yeah, well, I think we need to check it out. No, honey, don't go through the trouble. It's okay. You'd say, hold on a second. That's concerning. I want you to tell me the truth, Doc. I need to know so we can deal with this. I need to know so maybe we can do something about it. Hey, a doctor should tell truth. A preacher should tell... See, some of you mad as a hornet at me right now. I hope not. Some of you say, well, I just tell you, it's some old-fashioned... Listen, it's Bible preaching. And I'm telling you, I'm doing it in love. I'm doing this, woe is me. Even that first list, I'm like, Lord, take heed lest you fall. I don't want to be involved in that. Lord, I'm not doing that from a condescending spirit. I'm just telling you, you ought to appreciate truth. People are seeking truth today. They're looking for it. They want someone that's not going to water down the message. There's people sitting in these seats today that left another church somewhere down the road because someone started watering down the word. I want straight truth whether I like the taste or not. I don't like everything I eat. Matter of fact, if it tastes good, you ought to spit it out. It's what the doctors say. If it tastes good, you shouldn't. Probably not good for you. Plah, plah, plah. Lettuce, plah. Barley, plah. Broccoli, you know, and you got to put half a stick of butter and oil on it to make it halfway eatable. Then it's not good for you anymore. Well, you know what, truth? Truth, straight truth, without the butter, without the sugar, without the oil, without the... It doesn't taste good, but it sure is good for you. We need truth. Look at verse 10 and I'm done. It says this. This is where we're going to be next Sunday. More encouragement. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. We were created in the image of God. He's holy. He's pure. We are to put on the new man. Take off that old coat. Take off the old man. Let's not live in the flesh. Let's live in the Spirit. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know what we did yesterday? We had a bunch of men show up yesterday and we did what we're going to do it this Saturday, spring cleaning. Started about 8:30. They pulled everything. We got some storage buildings behind the church. They pulled everything out of the storage building. All over the property. And some of them were going through it and saying, man, that's old. That's old. We don't use that anymore. It's old. Because it had become, you couldn't even walk in them storage buildings. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about because it's at your house, right? You know what I mean? Couldn't even walk out. You walk in. So that's storage. You know what people used to park cars in garages? How many of you ain't parked a car in a garage in a long time? You're like, I got boxes and stuff. You know what we did here? We did some spring cleaning. We pulled out all that junk. Some of it thrown away. I got my flamethrower out here. I said, that'll burn. Put it right there. That'll burn. Put it right there. Stack all the... Hey, you know what we need to do in our life? We need to pull out the junk. Clean house. Clean house. Just pull it out. I don't like winter. I don't like it. It's just work. I know it is. Put on the new man. Let's get the clutter out of our life. Let's get the junk out. Go home today. If you say, well, Pastor, I got to go home today and clean some junk up, please, you have my permission. Go home. Take whatever it is that's causing you to stumble. Get in the Word of God. Get in prayer. Get in all these things. Walk in the Spirit. Deny the flesh. The Bible says mortify it. Kill it. Put it away. Men, if you're struggling in the area of lust and things, whatever it is that you're doing, get it out. Put safeguards there. Restrict. That's off limits. I can't go there. I can't handle it. Guess what? None of us can. None of us can.